Howdy friends, this is Matt Sewell, and you're listening to episode 90 of the Popecast, A History of the Papacy, the only podcast about popes where you'll find non-boring stories on the successors of St. Peter and a reminder that all the world's problems have happened plenty of times before. If you'd like to support the Popecast and join a growing community of those with early access to new episodes, Popecast swag, and special bonus content, be sure to check out patreon.com/thepopecast. If you also can't get enough papal history here, we do a free periodic newsletter called Today in Papal History that you can find at popes.substack.com. Now today, we have a special episode of the show coming to you. I had the pleasure of being a guest on Real Presence Radio out in the Midwest on a show hosted by none other than our most recent special guest, Father Richard Kunst, to talk about the origins of the Popecast and my own personal favorite popes and papal history stories, among other things. So if you've been a fan of the Popecast for a long time or for a short time, maybe don't know the origin story or forgot the origin story, this would be a great episode to listen to. So without further ado, here's an extra special episode of the Popecast.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. This is Father Richard Kunst along with...
And me, Cindy Jennings.
Cindy Jennings, and we are coming to you from the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota, on the shores of beautiful Lake Superior. And I have to say that, I have not known our next guest very long, in fact, not much more than a month. And I don't know if I've looked more forward to an interview more than this one. Because as I told our next guest, Matthew Sewell, that I think that we are actually brothers from a different mother or something like that. Because we are on the same page of just about everything, as far as I can tell. Matthew, welcome to Real Presence Live.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Matthew, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Yeah, broad question. My name is Matthew Sewell. I live out in Spokane, Washington. Grew up in beautiful western Montana. I've been a lifelong Catholic, and for just about the past, 9 or 10 years or so, I've really kind of taken it seriously. And once I had that kind of conversion within the church type moment, I found myself just diving headfirst into everything that I could learn about the faith, and that also branched out into learning everything about church history. And so that's kind of, I think, the occasion for our interview today, ultimately. But I'm married and have a little boy named Leo and another little boy on the way here in the next couple of months. So, yeah, God is good.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, there's a particular, you say church history, but there's a very particular niche of church history that you, at least that I've gotten to know you through. And what's that niche of history?
Yeah, indeed, that would be papal history, which I am always a little bit disappointed that it's not more popular, but it always seems like people have at least a bit of an intrigue for it. So, I specifically, the last 4 years have been, I think 4.5 years maybe, gosh, I've been running a podcast called The Popecast, The History of the Papacy.
Your thoughts are my thoughts. It's like, why is this not more popular? Because I feel like I've got like three eyes. When people, because everybody knows me in this part of the world as the Pope priest, because I just love papal history. But it's so fascinating, right? I mean, you cannot make this stuff up.
How'd you guys find each other?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. So I have, well, go ahead, Father Rich, yeah.
No, go ahead, Matthew.
I've been aware of Father Rich's work for, I don't know when I ran across you for the first time. Maybe a year or two. And so I've been actually wanting to have him on as a guest because, well, here's, me, the guy who I started out this about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, for my day job at Flocknote Writing. It was a free daily email series that's actually still going called Popes in a Year. So people can sign up for that if they want to, flocknote.com/popes, where it was just a daily entry from Peter to Francis going from 1 to 266, just a little 2 minutes. Entry that was a little more lighthearted, kind of easy access to papal history. And then, started getting the Popecast, and a few years later, last year. So I probably was just Googling one night and was like, who else is a papal history nerd like me? Is there anybody else out there shouting into the void, as it were? And then I find, papalartifacts.com and find this priest out in Duluth, Minnesota, who has the largest, you know, collection of papal memorabilia outside of the Vatican or whatever. And yeah, finally got around to emailing him about a month ago, and we had a great chat. I think it was our second to last episode that I did. I'm ashamed that it wasn't earlier, but yeah.
Well, and I'm embarrassed, and I truly am embarrassed to say that I hadn't heard of your work until you reached out to me. And so it's like, that's why I said, it's like, I can't believe there's another guy like me. It's like, this is weird. You know, and so we need to have a beer at some point. We have
to
have a beer.
You know what you need to do? You guys need to come together and do, when you do your papal history reveal.
Yeah.
You should do a podcast together and talk about the things that you're going
to we have to get Matthew to Duluth at some time. So
yeah,
there's
that
no
would, August.
There's no doubt
Matthew,
about that.
Come
so
in August.
So tell me again. So it's Popecast. So if people can just like, well, you tell them how you find, how do we find your Popecast?
Yeah, it's just called The Popecast. Popecast is one word, and it's on all the podcast platforms. Our website is thepopecast.fm. You can find that there, right? And I really started, I guess, that I mentioned popes in a year, and so that was a labor of love back in 2016, I think it was, and had been just dabbling in another unrelated podcast with a couple of friends, and that was going away around 2018, mid-2018, and it just started percolating in my head that there was so much more to a lot of these stories that I'd written about that just didn't fit in an email. Just by nature of it being an email, I was thinking, man, that would be very interesting. I had been listening also to Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs fame, Mike Rowe's podcast that he'd been doing called The Way I Heard It, which is like a modern version of Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story.
Yep.
So it's like a short form, 10 to 15 minute episode with like a little surprise at the end, kind of lesser known histories. And it's sort of like all coming together in my head. I'm thinking that would be a perfect format for a papal history podcast, so let's give it a shot. So that's effectively what it is. It's just 10 to 20 minute episodes, one pope per episode, and usually every three or four episodes I'll try to sprinkle in an interview like the one I did with you, Father Rich, obviously. It's never a dull moment, even when it's apparently a mundane pope who didn't appear to do anything interesting. There's usually always something to tie back to some sort of issue or trouble or stress that we're experiencing now, which I always find very refreshing.
Yeah, well, it's one of your taglines, isn't it? You got a couple of different taglines. So I got a parishioner of mine who I kind of got onto the Popecast, and he's been listening to them, and he asked me to have you use your tagline about old dusty books. Can you give us the tagline just to appease my one of our listeners?
I'll try to
you haven't used it for a while. I think that was your tagline early on. For people who don't like...
Yeah, for people who love history but don't love dry, dusty history books, I think
exactly.
That's the one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. I've figured around with a few, but that was a good one, yeah.
So here's my question. It's like, so as I'm listening to you, because I listened to every single one of them during Lent. Because, I mean, you reached out to me like right at around Ash Wednesday. I thought, I'm going to listen to all these. Not that it was an act of penance. I just wanted to go through Lent being able to say I finished them off. And I did. I finished them off. And so the one thing that I'm shocked at, well, the first thing is that, okay, I'm thinking to myself, this guy's done his homework. This is not off the top of his head, because if you were, you'd be an idiot savant of popes. But here's my question. So you make some of these names and these place names, these people's names, you say them with such authority. It's like you know exactly how to pronounce them. But I'm thinking, if there was an Italian here, they'd probably like challenge you. I mean, you're so good at like these names. Like, oh, I'm just going to say this name. Like, I can't. You have to practice it like 10 times to get that name down.
Well, so yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a few things. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people pronounce like, I think one of my friends said quesadilla once, like unironically. Like, oh, come on. I know you don't speak Spanish, but we all know it's quesadilla, right? But like I said, well, this has always been one of my pet peeves of mispronouncing foreign words or foreign names. Also, there's a lot of really good, there's like always the little pronunciations on YouTube. And so I was going to look those up and make sure to, I guess, pronounce them right. And then it's, you know, also the magic of not having a live show, I suppose, as opposed to a podcast where you can take a few cracks at it. So I'm glad to know that it comes through.
So could you right now, off the top of your head, tell me the full baptismal name of Pope Leo XII?
Pope Leo the 12th. No, I forgot.
He's got the longest name in history.
And you know it, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't know. I just know.
Come on, you
I did.
Guys.
I did. We do something called the Papal Minute on Real Presence Radio, and I did a whole Papal Minute on his name because it was like crazy. So, Cindy, do you have a question about? Oh, wait, Cindy wants it. Okay, go ahead, Cindy.
I want to do some Pope trivia. Are
no,
you guys
no,
up for
no,
that?
No.
Why? Okay, maybe at the end if we have time.
Yeah, she wanted to have a contest between
I
you
know.
And I.
I don't know why Father is not wanting to do this because he is, like, very competitive.
I am. And I'm going to whip Matthew, so, I mean, just, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. You'd mop the floor with me. That's
yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, so, well, let me ask you this. How do you decide what aspects of the papal history to speak about on the podcast?
Popecast.
Yeah. I would love to say that there's a consistent rhyme or reason, like from, you know, when I started to now. In general, I try to like, I usually go, I don't know, a pope from like each 500 year swath of history and kind of rotate through that way. Unless there's, you know, I think once I did I called it the infallibility series, where it was, Honorius the First, Vigilius, and Liberius, like the three popes who non-Catholics often point to say, oh, infallibility is false, since I did three in a row on them. And then, you know, I mean, sometimes there's, I think I did kind of a tongue-in-cheek episode called The Pope Who Built the Wall, I think right after President Trump got elected, maybe. It's kind of a gag. It was St. Leo the Fourth who built the Leonine Wall, which is still standing in Rome. But I try to kind of mix them up. I would be remiss to say that, you know, if I don't have as much time as I would like, I'll probably pick one who has a shorter story than, you know, doing one on John Paul II, which took three episodes. But in general, I just try to kind of space them out and not do a bunch of saints all the time and try to, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Do you have a favorite pope?
Well, I was going to ask him.
Oh, so, okay, wait, I took
so,
it.
No, yeah. The thing is that he always asks your three favorite popes. And so I want to get to that a little bit later. So Cindy does not
I'm
ask him what she
better.
Can ask. So,
no, that's fine. Yeah.
No, that's great. And so can you just give us like just for 2 seconds what you're working on right now? Without like, I know that you have to, I know you want to be careful about that because you have a specific, you know, people that sponsor you, they get that. And get that a little bit early, but is there anything you're working on now or that you want to work on soon?
Like it just more broadly or
yeah,
like
no, for your next, podcast, like for your next podcast.
Oh yeah. The next podcast. Well, I think I did, let's see, I think it was John the Second. I did last week. He was the first Pope to ever change his name.
Right. Mercury
in history. And so I'm looking at, yeah, somebody around, yeah, Mercurius. Yeah. Right. So I'll be looking at somebody probably around like the 900s, 1000s, 1100s, because which is always an interesting era. That's when I think Benedict the Ninth was the Pope three times, when Gregory the Seventh reigned and all that type of thing. So we'll probably be looking a little sneak preview.
We're talking to Matthew Sewell from the Popecast. We'll continue this conversation immediately after this brief break.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. I'm Father Richard Kuntz, along here with Cindy Jennings. And we've been interviewing and talking to my new best friend, Matthew Sewell, only because we are like birds of a feather when it comes to papal history. So here I've got a question, Matthew. So, okay, first off, I mean, I was on your Popecast, so I'm very proud to have been on that. It's very exciting that I was on that. I'm glad that that you're on my show now, Real Presence Radio. And so I've got the question of who are your three favorite popes? But first, I want to see if you remember my three favorite popes.
Oh, yours, you said, was John Paul II, I think is what you said.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
I did say that, but I really did say that. Good memory. But who are the three that I actually gave you?
Oh, let's see. Okay, John Paul II, John Paul I, right? And then Julius II. That's right. Yeah.
Oh.
You were the first guest I had who said Julius II. But I like the reasoning why.
But also John Paul I. You said I was the first to do that one as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, who are your
right, exactly.
Who are your three favorite?
Man, that's so tough. It's so hard. I would say not counting John Paul and Benedict for one, because it would be like for a papal historian, I let yours slide because it was very good. Obviously, you met him like 7 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually I would skip over John Paul and Benedict because those are obvious choices. But I really love Pius VII, who was actually a servant of God.
Yeah.
So he was Pope that Napoleon imprisoned for like 10 years or something like that. The turn of the 19th century. This little feeble man with this iron will is what it seemed like. And then he came back to Rome to a hero's welcome and I think made provision somehow to take care of Napoleon. And Napoleon had really kind things to say about him, even after having him in jail for 10 years.
Yep.
So Pius VII is one. I also like to say these are in no particular order because that's your pick favorites at the end of the day.
They're all your kids. Gregory the Seventh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Gregory the Seventh. I love because I think he lived at a time in the church that's very similar to our own, where all this mess with the clergy of the last 50-100 years, and the church in general, and like just all of this uproar and all these types of things, and general lowering of moral standards around the world, like all that type of stuff. So, like him being a reformer and a man. Like after the Lord's own heart, and like a very humble servant. Also, I like the walk to Thanasis story where he made the emperor kneel in the snow for 3 days before letting him in and apologizing for excommunicating him.
Yep.
Pius VII, Gregory the Seventh, and then I don't know. Leo the Great's up there. Gregory the Great's up there, obviously too. What would I have to say? Who I just learned about actually was Leo the Ninth, who I think was. I think Gregory the Seventh was a deacon for him, like 20 years before he was pope or something like that. But Leo the Ninth, I found this contemporary biography. I don't know how I found. I should actually send you the link, Father. That somebody translated into English. Like it was written, I think, a year or two after he died, and he lived in like 1,000, so about 1,000 years ago. And you just have this picture of this man who really like deeply cared for souls and worked out all of these insane miracles at a time right when the state of the church was starting to degrade, and also apparently he cried a lot, which I thought was really funny how they like
he cried
said,
a lot?
Oh, he was weeping copiously. To a large degree, but in this biography, and then everywhere he went, he was weeping copiously and crying.
Is that because relate to that, or?
I may have the gift of tears, but I just thought it was funny because, man, I'm trying to picture, this pillar, very tall, strapping, like good-looking, Pope what a waste, if you will. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's also just, deeply. It's kind of a roundabout answer. But I love John Paul I too. At the same time, I love Paul VI. I think he gets a bad rap a lot of times. Paul VI does. So I could do like a top 10 easier than I could do a top 3.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And so okay. But here's the next question I have, but do it maybe a little bit quicker, okay? Who are the greatest popes? Who are the greatest popes? Give me the top 3 greatest popes.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, John Paul II, just because he saw so many people and was actually world traveler. A lot of those the exact reasons that you gave. Leo the Great and Gregory the Great, probably. I think not to be cliche, but Gregory literally, founded Western civilization and picked Rome up from the ashes, and Leo the Great just being like this. Pillar of like bridging the gap between the patristic era and after the fall of the Roman Empire. So I would say those would be the top 3 probably.
Did you name your son after him? Leo?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
And fun fact, the next one's name is going to be Gregory.
Oh, that's so cute.
Glim. I've always loved that name. And people are like, oh, is it because of Leo the Great? Like, well, yeah, but there's been 5 Saint Leo's, 1 through 4 and 9, but then I also Leo the 13th. You can't sleep on him.
No, exactly.
The Rosary Pope and all that. Yeah. So
is your third son gonna be named Formosus?
Something would have to go seriously wrong, I think. For
how about if it's a girl?
Formosa. I think the joke has been we're working through the great. Or, there's these windows of the doctors of the church in our parish in the cathedral in Spokane that has Leo and Gregory within, like, Ambrose, Augustine, and Jerome also. And so, well, we'll see with number three, which direction we go.
So how long do you envision doing these Popecasts?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, well, for one, there's enough material to go for quite a while longer. So I think I've done about 80 episodes, and I think about a little over 70 of them have been Popes. The rest have been interviews or like an audio reading of, you know, 11 that Francis or Benedict has released. So I'm, you know, barely a quarter of the way through. So there's still plenty of time to do the rest, and there's lots of other stories. And then, I mean, I think there's a good opportunity to do, you know, characters in papal history that weren't necessarily popes. So the Savonarolas, the Cardinal Richelieus of the world that, you know, we have kind of caricatures in our head, but to tell their real stories, I think would be pretty fun. So yeah. As long as time allows, and I suppose children allow.
Yeah, exactly.
No end in sight, at least.
So as a new listener that listened to all of them, I just want to, for our listeners, I want to promote the Popecast. It is fascinating. You know, truth is truly stranger than fiction when it comes to papal history. And Matthew here does such a phenomenal job in bringing these popes to life. And so, again, they're really short. They're usually, like, as you mentioned, Matthew, anywhere, you know, the shorter ones are like 11, 12 minutes. You can go up to 18, 19 minutes. But they're great. They're phenomenal. And so I just love what you're doing. And right now, Cindy's got, she's dying to ask trivia question.
So
go ahead,
sorry.
Cindy.
Okay.
So I think this is somewhat of a competition. I have no idea. I don't know what her questions are, Matthew, so I'm not. In fact, I think I'm at a disadvantage now.
Maybe I will ask you each a question.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, if one gets it wrong, the other person can answer.
Okay.
This is for you, Father.
Okay.
Who was the last pope to use the Sedia Gestoria?
Sedia Gestoria, and that was John Paul I.
Darn. I'm going to stump you. Yeah. Okay.
So
Matthew.
This is for Matthew. This is for you, Matthew.
Two popes were elected at age of 20. Name one.
Oh, he knows that.
Oh, John the 12th was one, I believe.
And you name the other one, Father.
Well, at the age of 20. Well, it wasn't. Well, we already mentioned it. Wasn't Benedict the 9th, was it? Wasn't he elected at 19?
I think it was Benedict the 9th.
Is it Benedict the 9th?
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we got it right.
Good job. Okay. Father, this is another question for you.
All right. We have a guest here. Okay, go ahead, quick.
Who was the longest reigning pope?
Well,
and for how long?
Okay, they normally say it's Peter, but I take issue with that. It's actually Pius the Ninth, who is from 1846 to 1878.
Okay.
Okay, well, Matthew, this is yours.
This is wrong. Okay, Pope Francis once held a job at a nightclub. What was it, Matthew?
I believe he was a bouncer.
Yes, he was a bouncer.
Yeah. Why wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
Are equally matched. I'll have to come up with some tougher questions.
No, I'm sure somebody else fed you those questions, but very good. So, Matthew, what's your, I mean, again, say something more about popes, because you're just good at it.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I think it's just such an untapped potential and has the potential to calm everyone's nerves. Like, everybody's just on edge these days. I find myself, and Father, you're probably the same. I find myself, like, thinking, am I just an insane person that I'm, you know, not really particularly worried about the state of the world, that, you know, like, okay, maybe Jesus comes back in our lifetime, but maybe not, because, I mean, you know, read back through any of these popes, it seems like it's cyclical. Every 100, 200 years in some large part of the church, there's just these massive crises going on, and massive degeneracy in certain pockets, and, you know, massive lack of faith, and, you know, the secular governments taking advantage of the church in some form. And it's like, there's just nothing new. I mean, it's a, you know, glib thing to say nothing new under the sun, but really when it comes to papal history, it's just true.
Yeah. Well,
so I think that's why I love it so much. Yeah. Go
ahead. It's your new tagline. You went from the dusty old history books to knowing papal history knows that there's nothing really new in the world. We've done this all before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your new tagline. So that's exactly
right. That's why it's most encouraging to me. And I think, that's why you don't necessarily have to be a lover of history in general, let alone papal history, to get something out of it. Because it's like, oh, wow, you know, 1700 years ago, they were going through the same thing.
Exactly. And you, on your podcast, you highlight the bizarre, the fascinating. And so, again, I do really want to encourage listeners to check out the Popecast. As a Popeaholic myself, I have totally eaten up your Popecast, and I cannot wait for the next one. I always tell people, you know, maybe you can use this line too if you don't already, Matthew. So I always say that, you know, some people go papal. Some people went postal, and I went papal. So I didn't go postal. I went papal. And so I said in regards to my collection. So you can use that sometime. I didn't go postal. I went papal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing in some ways.
I think, right, yeah. That's good. That's a good shirt idea, I think.
Hey, and yeah. Okay, if you do one of those shirts, I want one.
So
just really a quick thought. So for a guy like me, I don't know if you're like me in regards to loving papal history, but also fascinated with the current pontiff and just papal history as we see it unwrapping before us. And so one of the big news recently in regards to Pope Francis is his health. And so I don't know if you've been following mm-hmm. that much, Matthew?
Not rapturously, but.
Right. Yeah, because I'm just curious if he's going to follow Benedict's lead in regards to what's your take on that in regards to recognize if he can continue his ministry with his recent medical issues?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a couple thoughts. I know that I've seen on Twitter in different places where people note that they say that the Vatican, doctors are notoriously silent. They'll say, the Pope has a cold today, and then right. tomorrow the Pope dies.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just going to be fascinated to see whatever happens, because the fact that Benedict retired is just, unprecedented in yep. our age in the last 10 generations. And I'll be fascinated to see what happens.
Well, Matthew, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. And I'm looking forward to the time we have a beer together. We have to have a good long talk sometime.
Wait, when's Gregory due?
When is Gregory due?
Beginning of July. Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully, all right. Hopefully Gregory the Great coming in July. All right. Well, thank you very much, Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.
God bless.
Yeah. Thank you.